Amen. Now let's go to John 3, and then we're going to go to John 13. And then we're going to go by and visit Matthew 16. I'm in the Passion Translation. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it. And in John 13, Lord, we need to understand this. Jesus said, so I give you now, I'm still in the Passion Translation, so I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know you're my true followers. Everyone. So we have to get to the point where we don't have to, didn't say like one another, said love one another. Amen? Amen. Matthew 16, verse 13, 14. Very familiar. We've been sharing this. Even though we're not talking about living in the revelation, it still applies. So when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question. What are the people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe I am? They answered, some are convinced you are John the Baptizer. Others say you are Elijah reincarnated or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed this to you. And I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. Now let's go to Luke 6. And I'm start out in Luke 6 in the King James Version. And then I'm going to share it again in the Passion Translation. Luke 6, verse 47, 48, and 49. Jesus said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings. So someone has to do first come to him and then you have to. So he said, whoever comes to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. So now he's talking about, he's not talking about someone that just came. He's talking about someone that came to him, heard what he said, and put it to work. He said, he's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he that heareth and does and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The Passion Translation says, let me describe the one who truly follows me and does what I say. He's like a man who chooses the right place to build a house and then lays a deep and secure foundation. When the storms and floods rage against that house, it continues to stand strong and unshaken through the tempest, for it has been wisely built on the right foundation. Say, wisely built on the right foundation. Now, but the one who has heard my teaching and does not obey is like a man who builds a house without laying any foundation whatsoever. Whenever the storms and floods rage against that house, it will immediately collapse and become a total loss. Which of these two builders will you be? Which of these two? Folks, there's no doubt. There is no doubt in my mind at all that a strong foundation is of the utmost importance. But there's something that God just dropped into my thinking last Sunday while I was teaching out in Pennsylvania. He just dropped it right in. He said the World Trade Center was built on a solid foundation. The towers fell. The foundation didn't. The towers collapsed. The foundation stayed in place. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, God, why are you I'm teaching a lesson. Why are you telling me this now? You know? He said, because you need more than just a strong foundation to keep from falling. There are other things that are needed in the process of building your spiritual house or any house. As the church, yes, we're built on the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I like the way the Passion Translation says it. It's the bedrock foundation. And I wanted to know what it was talking about with bedrock foundation. Unless when I think of bedrock, I think of Flintstones. But I knew God wasn't talking about them. All right. So that's why I called George. And he said, oh no, you have to, listen to this. You have to build, you have to lay the foundation on bedrock. Bedrock is the foundation that holds the foundation. That's why the Passion Translation said this revelation is the bedrock. This revelation is the foundation on which we're going to build your foundations. I mean, how many of you are sitting in a chair? Okay. That chair is holding you up, isn't it? What's holding up the chair? Okay. God is the foundation that holds the foundation. That holds the foundation. And we need to understand that, but we also need to understand that with the foundation, there are other things that we need to keep in mind as we're building. In Matthew 16, we read that that truth will be the bedrock foundation. In Luke 6:47, Jesus said that, you're like a man that build a house and dig deep. Dig deep. You have to dig deep to get to bedrock. You have to dig. You have to dig. You come across some rock and you think, oh, this is the foundation. No, that's not. That's just a rock being held up by the bedrock. You have to dig deep. You can't say things like I'm tired, mm-hmm. or this is too hard, or when am I ever going to get to the bedrock? No, you have to dig deep to get to the bedrock. I was reading some information, from some geological websites yesterday. I was reading about bedrock. And some say it's just above the crust. It's like, that's it. It holds up everything. And sometimes in some regions, some mountains that you see sticking out are tops of bedrock, where just erosion and things have uncovered it. But bedrock, it's defined as unbroken, solid rock, overlaid in most places by soil or rock fragments. And you have to dig deep to hit bedrock. You have to keep digging. Now, the scriptures say when you dig deep and lay the foundation on a rock, when the floods arise and the storms beat on that house, it won't fall because it's founded on the house, or founded on a rock. Could you show that picture of that I sent of, I think it's called the Michael House. Did you get that? That need to be loaded? You didn't see that one? Well, I guess I can't show it. All right. But during Hurricane Michael in Mexico Beach, it showed an area where every house in the area was flattened, except one. Everything all around this one house was complete devastation. Everything. These houses were built on a foundation. But the owners of that house that stood, they knew that fierce storms would come, and they wanted to build a house that would conquer the storms. It wasn't just the foundation that caused that house to stand. They didn't consider the minimum wind resistance requirements for their county. They were willing to do whatever was necessary to make sure their house would withstand 250-mile-an-hour winds. Their house was fashioned from poured concrete, reinforced by steel cables and rebar, with additional concrete bolstering the corners of the house. The space under the roof was minimized so that wind couldn't sneak in underneath and lift it off. The home's elevation was on high pilings, and guess what those pilings are on? Bedrock, okay? So that the water and things, the surge, could go right underneath it. And it made me start thinking about the Bible telling us that we're seated in heavenly places far above all principalities, all powers, and all might. They built that house so it would be far above the storm surge coming through. So when those storms, and this is what they said. We were thinking that we need to build a house that would survive for generations. Well, that's what the church is supposed to do. Survive for generations. That's what the things that we live for, the things that we demonstrate about life in Christ, needs to be passed on from generation to generation. We have to start thinking generational and building things to last through generations. It's so much more, because it's how the house was built, and it's the materials that were used to build the house. Yes, you need the foundation, but what are you using? You can have a bedrock foundation and build a house with toothpicks. And anything will blow. A storm doesn't have to come, just a blustery day. Blow your house away. You can build a house of cards on top of a solid foundation. Guess what? It's not going to stand. Remember the three little pigs? Okay. So we have to consider how the house is built, and we have to consider what materials are used to build it. We're going to talk about how the house is built this the rest of today. Next Sunday, we'll talk about the materials. Look at 1 Peter 2. Because the foundation has another purpose. Verse 21, King James Version. Says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." Christ suffered for us, leaving us what? An example. And what are we supposed to do with that example? See, but the steps, how do we want to say this, Lord? The foundation serves two purposes. Yes, it holds up the structure, but it also provides something else. It provides the footprint of how that structure is going to look, how it's going to be built. See, when you build the foundation, if this is the foundation right here, what's built has to match that footprint. It has to match it. It has to match the shape. And what happens is, or what's been happening, you know, with people, with Christians in particular, is that we haven't been building on the footprint that Jesus left. We've been building off the footprint. We've been making modifications. Because, you know, Jesus can be pretty rigid sometimes. And I don't like that footprint. I don't like a rectangle. I want an oval. Well, the problem with that is that if this folder is your footprint and you want something that looks like this, all of it is not going to be supported by the foundation because it doesn't fit the footprint. You know, you may decide to do it like that. What happens to this front part? It's not on the foundation. We have to stop changing the footprint that Jesus left and build based on that footprint. Because that footprint is the top of the foundation. That's the footprint. I talked with George. He said, if you don't follow the footprint, you're in trouble. He said, because then you're gonna have to re-pour the foundation. Because if you don't, then the building's not going to stand. He said it won't be level. You know, when the ground settled, now think about it. If this is your foundation and this is your structure, when it settles, it starts to settle, yeah, this part's on the foundation, but the other part's not. And it's going to start to give way. Why? It's not on the footprint. When my sons were younger, and it would snow, you know, and that's before they had these nice, slim, size 16 boots. You know, the boots were big, and, you know, they called them mouse boots. And so I would walk in the snow, and I would leave a footprint. And they thought it was so funny. They were trying to step in my footprint. And so then instead of taking normal strides, I had to take short strides, you know, because they wanted to walk in my footprints. But that's all they wanted to do. They wanted to walk in my footprints because for them it was fun, it was a game, and it made it easier for them to get through the snow because Dad already tamped it down. So they could just step in it. Every now and then I take a big step, and then they're looking there and they're trying to jump from one footprint and land into the other. And then when they landed, they start laughing. They said, what's so funny? They said, both of our feet can fit in your footprint. But they weren't trying to do what I did. They were just having fun. They were just along for the ride. Folks, when the Bible tells us that Christ left us example that we should follow in his steps, wasn't just talking about just moseying along with him. It's talking about much, much more than that. The Amplified Bible, same verse, says, for even to this were you called, it is inseparable from your vocation. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example, so that you should follow in his footsteps. See, what let me read it in the New Testament for everyone. This, after all, is what came to the terms of your call, because the Messiah too suffered on your behalf, leaving behind a pattern for you, so you should follow the way he walked. See, that translation gets closer to the crux of the matter. It's not following his steps, meaning you just go where he did. No, you go as he did. Everything that he did along the way We do. Everything. Everything. It doesn't just mean, you know, I walk along with Jesus, and we go with Jesus and I, we're just strolling together down the beach. No. Whatever he does, we do. Whatever he does, we do. He's the foundation, and he's also the footprint. And we need to follow that footprint when we're building our spiritual house. Amen. We need to follow our footprint, that footprint as the church. When Peter wrote that, he was saying that he wrote that during a time when the believers were going through, I mean, they were going through some stuff. The Romans, so you talk about persecution, you know, and being murdered and tortured and all of these things. That's what the believers during that time were going through. And they needed to have something to hold on to. And so Peter wrote that verse in the midst of all the hardships. He said, we have to look to Jesus. We have to follow in his steps. See, when he wrote these words, they were being persecuted unmercifully by the Roman government. They were coming up with laws and things, and they couldn't do anything about it. They had no rights. And here's the other part. Even though they were being persecuted by an unjust government, Jesus taught them to respect the government, to pray for them. Even though they're persecuting them, even though some of them are facing death, Jesus said, pray for them. Pray for them. You don't pray for someone that's killing your friends. He said, pray for them. For this you were called. Because Christ left you an example. So follow in his steps. Peter was reminding them of the suffering and the hardship and the ill treatment because he wanted them to know that Jesus Christ was still in the midst of them. And they desperately needed to know how to respond to unjust situations. I mean, everybody does. When something happens, nobody wants to respond in the wrong way. Everybody wants to respond in the right way. And so Peter said, well, Christ suffered for us, so we follow in his steps. See, he used the word example. Let me tell you what example really means. I'm going to go Greek on you, but I'm not going to share any Greek words. I'm just going to share the meaning. Take too long to try and pronounce these words. But the word example, listen to this. The word and example, I didn't tell you this, honey, but I think you'll like this one. The word example in this verse precisely depicts a school child who carefully watches his teacher writing the letters of the alphabet. Then that child painstakingly and carefully copies each letter, matching it as closely as possible to the original letters written by his teacher. When that teacher, I'm telling you, you need to see her penmanship. I'm amazed. It looks like I'm reading a book. The way she had to write them on the board, painstaking, however it looked in the book, you had to duplicate that look. And you think, well, that's easy enough. Yeah. You try and do it. It says they had to painstakingly take the time and make sure that when they were writing that it was a perfect circle. Now, I mean, well, I'm not going to talk about anybody's writing because if it wasn't for word processors, no one would know what I was writing. You know. But that's the example Jesus had in mind. He's our teacher, and we have to focus on his spiritual blackboard, which is the footprint, and which is the word of God, and we have to learn what Jesus did and then reproduce it. That's what we have to do. Learn what he did and reproduce what he did. See, that's how we build our house. We're following his footprint, doing exactly what he did. Now, He said, Christ left us an example and we're to follow. Well, that word follow is from an original Greek compound of two or three words. If you want to know that, go online and study it and you figure out how to pronounce them. But what it means is to carefully follow after someone with the goal to replicate what he or she does. Christ left us an example for us to follow doing everything that he did. That's what that verse is telling us that we need to do. It depicts a person so committed to imitating another person that he's willing to follow him exactly and do whatever he does. He's willing. The word also describes a person who is very serious about replicating someone else's life in their own. So you want Christ's life to be your life. That's what it means. So when you follow in his steps, you're making sure that all of your foot fits in his footprint. And you're doing everything that he did in the process. Because then when people see you functioning, they don't see you. They see Christ. They see Christ. That's why he said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. Because then they'll know that you're my disciples when they see. They have to see what you're doing. Amen. You can advertise, I'm the spiritual house of God. Really? And then something comes up and you just collapse. No, you haven't. You're not painstakingly following him. You changed the footprint. See, when you go your own way, the word doesn't help you. I'm blessed wherever my feet touch the ground. That's what the word says. Yeah, try stepping where God didn't tell you to step. And see, you'll be blessed, but you'll be in a lot of trouble. Be in a lot of pain. Cause a lot of anguish. Because you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Because you wanted to make your own footprints. He said, I'm original, I'm not a copy. No, we're duplicates. We're duplicates. We duplicate everything that Christ did. When? All the time. All the time. That's a strong house that will not fall because our example did not fall. Now, the word steps in the Greek literally means footprints. So it's been saying Christ left us an example, follow in his footprints. But it doesn't just mean follow, you know, to go along for the walk. It means following his, stepping in his footprints and following his every actions and every circumstance that he faced. Every action based on every circumstance that we face needs to replicate what Jesus did in those same situations. Every single one. Every single one. When he was, the night he was arrested, he had the authority, he had the right as God's son to call down legions of angels. But he said, but then how will the scriptures be fulfilled? So even though he could, it wasn't the right thing to do, so he didn't. So now we face situations, and we're right. I mean, we are right, period. But acting like you're right will cause you to misrepresent who Christ is. So you have to take a different road. you have to look and say, oh, you're over here. I'll go over here and do what I'm supposed to do over here. And your flesh is saying, no, this is more fun. No, see, I shared something with the people last week, and wasn't planning to, but God said, share it with you. See, part of building, when you build a house, and we'll get into this more next Sunday, but there's certain things you put in the house, certain construction materials you use, you know, and there's certain things that you don't use. And the Bible tells us to, you know, put on and put off. Or actually says, put off this so you could put on. And I told him, one of the things that it says is to put off anger. And so, okay, so if my jacket represents anger, I'm supposed to put it off. But I don't put it off and get rid of it. I keep it. Because just in case, as I'm going, something happens. Can't get in as fast as I did last week. But I get it. Now you deal with this. No, it says put off. So that means I'm supposed to take it off and get rid of it. You know, like it's a useless rag because it no longer represents my house. Anger can't be a part of my house because anger wasn't a part of Christ. So, well, he said, be angry and sin not. Yeah, he did. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So when you get angry, you got till sundown to get it right. We could say in the Old West, get out of town by sundown. Because when the sun goes down, you better be singing, there'll be peace in the valley. But that's why he gave us a solid foundation, because steps literally means putting our feet exactly where Jesus placed his feet, stepping in his footprints and following every single action in every single circumstance. That's why we were given a solid foundation, so that while we're doing that, operating in that, we don't fall. We don't fall. It feels like we're being shaken, but we're not. It just feels like it. But we have to know I'm standing on solid rock. And the solid rock I'm standing on is on bedrock. So there ain't no way I can fall as long as I'm built right. And the way I get built right is to follow Jesus' steps. Because when I follow his steps, everything that happened with him will happen with me. And you have to commit to doing it. See, sometimes it appears, just like I used to do it for fun, I would take a real big step, you know, just to make them happen. Now, you know, if I step like this and their legs are only this long, there's no way they can make that. They can get there, but, you know, they can't just take one step and do it. And sometimes we look at it and it seems that Jesus is so far out there ahead of where we are, we don't think we can do it. Yes, we can. How do you do it? By faith. That's where your faith comes in. You put action to your faith. Your faith. So it may take you three steps to get to that footprint, but you got there. The key thing is getting there. Getting there. And stop thinking about how long it takes you to get there. As long as you're headed in the right direction. Now, it's different if the footprint is over here and you're moving in this direction. Wondering, when am I going to get there? When you decide to start obeying God, you'll get back on track and you'll get to the next footprint. But you have to have a commitment that I'm sticking to the footprint because that's the top of the foundation. And if I don't stick to the footprint, I'm off the foundation. If I'm off the foundation, I'm out there by myself. If I'm out there by myself, I am no match for the enemy. I can't stand up to the winds, to the storms, to the persecution, to the tribulation. I can't stand up to it if I'm out there by myself. I have to be in the footprint because that's where my foundation is. So instead of giving up and getting tired and operating outside, let Jesus be the example. Well, what do we think? Jesus be the center? Yeah. What's that? You're my light. You're my, what's that slide? Do we have it up there? In my life, Jesus be the center. Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yeah. From my heart to the heavens. Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. See, that's what we should be doing as we're stepping in. We're not thinking about how long we have to stride. We think, I'm going to pull a muscle trying to get to that next step. No, just take your time and go and make sure that you get firmly in that footprint. Then you take your next step. And that next step is firmly in that footprint. And along this way, I see my brother in need, I help him. Mm-hmm. On this way, there's someone talking about me, I bless them. Amen. I do good to them. Amen. Then I take that the next, I see, oh, it's going over, okay, going right here. What are you doing? Okay, be healed in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Why? That's what my example did. This is my spiritual house. This is what happens in my house. Folks come to my house sick, they leave healed. Amen. They come to my house broken, they leave whole. Amen. Because I'm following in the footprint. I'm standing on the foundation and it's holding me up no matter what comes. Amen. So that means there isn't anything that I can't face, anything I can't deal with if I want to. Amen. We have to want to do this. Pastor Rick said we have to be so committed to imitating Jesus that we're willing to follow him step by step. Exactly doing whatever he did. Exactly. Just like that. You saw that school teacher. They wrote that alphabet. I do it better by air than I do with a regular pen. Okay. But you look exactly. Okay. You keep your eye on it. I mean, that's what you do. When you have little oops, that's why pencils have erasers, and you just start over. So then when you look at it, it may not be 100%, but it's as close as you can possibly get where you are right now. But as you keep doing it, it gets closer and closer and closer until it's practically a perfect match. That's the way we want our houses to be. Amen. We want them to look exactly like Jesus. Amen. Because then, when the storms come, when the floods come, when stuff comes, we won't be shaken. Amen. That's why we can say what Paul writes, I'm steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Why? Because I'm following the footprints of my Savior. I'm done for this morning. I'm done. We're going to talk about the building materials next week. Because you can have a rock solid foundation and use some cheap materials. And a bee will sneeze and your house will fall down. And I don't even know if bees can sneeze. If they can't sneeze, just the air from their wings fluttering will knock your house down. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for giving us the understanding that following in the steps of your Son, our Lord, our Savior and Lord, isn't just merely following him around. It's doing exactly what he did in every situation. Period. And we repent for those times when we have created our own footprints. But we have understanding now. And we never want to see our footprint. We only want to see Christ. Because we want the people to see the Christ in us. So thank you for showing us another way to get out of the way so that Christ can be made manifest through us. We thank you, Lord, because we have a greater understanding now. When the persecution comes to try to make us think that we didn't learn anything this morning, we're up for the task. We're up for the task. Our foundation is in place, and we're building our house properly. We have the proper connection to the foundation, because just building on the foundation isn't enough. We understand that we have to be connected to the foundation, and that's what Jesus was talking about when he told us he's the true vine and we're the branches. And apart from him, we can do nothing. We have to stay connected to him, following in his steps, replicating everything that he did. We thank you for the opportunities this week to do just that. And Father, we thank you for those who are agreeing to volunteer and assist your work being done by the Salvation Army, that they be a blessing to the people, to everyone that comes into contact with them, that they let you be the example, that they follow your footprint in dealing with the people. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, is there anyone here and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior? Have no recollection of doing that. Didn't even know that you should or you have to. But if you're going to follow in his steps, you need to receive him as your Savior and allow him to be Lord of your life. Because then you'll be able to clearly see his footprints in everything. In everything. And you do that simply by making a confession. The Bible says you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. That's it. So if there's anyone here and you want to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I need you to just raise your hand. Yeah, all I'm going to do is ask you to come and just lead you in that confession. 30, 35 seconds, you're in the kingdom. Yes, it's that simple. Okay, I don't see anyone here. Folks, make a concerted effort. Be mindful of your steps. Make sure that your feet are in the footprint that Jesus left. And you'll be able to stand. If you find yourself in a position where you're wavering, check your footprint. Because if you're wavering, you're not on a foundation. Amen. So somewhere along the line, there was a misstep. Don't get into condemnation. Amen. Say, God, I didn't realize I took a misstep. Where do I get back on? And sometimes we're driving from White Plains, not as familiar as all the roads to White Plains that connect to 287. So sometimes we take roundabout ways, but we find it. How do we find it? We follow the signs. And it leads us to where we need to go. If there's a sign there that says 287 with the left arrow, we don't make a right turn. We don't say, oh, I know better than them. Well, in the same way, if Jesus' footprint leads you over here, go over there. That's where your foundation is. Unless you want to fall. If you want to fall, you want to get lost, do what you want. But if you want to have a successful life, and if you want your house to look like Jesus, let's follow his footsteps. Walk in his footprints. Amen? Amen. Amen. Deacons.